My guest this time is Peter Sprigg. He is a senior fellow at the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. You may remember he joined us back in October to offer his reaction to a federal judge striking down much of what the president wanted to do in terms of banning transgender servicemen and women. Well, the judge in that case, U.S. District Judge Colleen Kolar-Kotelly, has ruled again and has said that there will be no delay in allowing transgenders to enlist, and the Pentagon is complying, saying transgenders can enlist starting January 1st. And Peter, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thank you.
Well, let's start with a little bit of our conversation from back in October. It was on October 30th when Kolar-Kotelly initially blocked a lot of what the president wanted to do here. Your argument at the time was that this is not an issue for the courts. It's an executive branch decision and that no one had actually been harmed yet. So how surprised are you by the fact that this judge went forward and refused to even allow a delay here?
Well, I guess I'm not terribly surprised given the obvious bias on the issue that she has shown. She has simply shown herself determined to impose her will upon the executive branch and not show any respect for the constitutional prerogatives that the president and the Defense Department have for making decisions regarding military personnel policy.
Here's a little bit more from the story in the Washington Post, which might have a few people scratching their heads about how serious the administration was about this. On Monday, Kolar-Kotelly noted the government waited 3 weeks to appeal her October 30th order, barring the military from implementing a transgender ban, did not file its motion to stay the January 1st deadline until last Wednesday, and has not sought any sort of expedited review of her initial decision. What do you make of the lack of urgency on that front?
Well, I'm a little disappointed in that. Although I don't know what all's involved in preparing those appeals. Certainly, I'm sure they wanted to be careful about the reasoning and the argument and so forth. So, as a non-lawyer, I'm not going to second guess the administration's legal practice. I do think that she's kind of got it. Got it backwards in terms of who should bear the burden of proof here, because she apparently said, that there's no emergency for the government, that it's not going to cause any irreparable harm to the military if they begin this process. But the standard is supposed to be the question of whether there will be irreparable harm to the plaintiffs, and I think that it hasn't been demonstrated that there will be any irreparable harm to plaintiffs, particularly with respect to this issue of new recruits, because we're talking about people who have not yet joined the military. And so the question to me is, where is the irreparable harm if someone who has not joined the military yet has to delay for perhaps three more months doing so, especially since the none of the plaintiffs in this case were actually imminently, on the verge of joining. And so I really think she's gotten the standards all wrong.
So where does this put this debate now, Peter? Is this essentially the end of this? Obviously, this is a district court judge, so the government, I guess, could go to an appeals court or higher. But do you think this is effectively the end of the debate and that the enlistments will begin now?
Well, certainly I hope not. I hope that the Justice Department would appeal this to a higher court, and that they would consider at least giving a delay in the implementation, particularly of this portion of the policy. We saw with respect to the president's travel ban that a number of lower courts struck it down or issued preliminary injunctions against enforcement of that. And then the U.S. Supreme Court, when it was appealed to them, they allowed the implementation of that policy to go forward. So I would hope that something similar might happen here with respect to this policy.
According to the Washington Post, the Justice Department disagrees with the ruling and is currently evaluating the next steps. So there could be more to come in this legal fight. You talked about irreparable harm being assigned in the wrong direction and from the perspective of the judge here, Peter. But let's talk about what she said here and whether the defendants, meaning the United States and specifically the military, will be irreparably injured by this. You believe that it does impact readiness. And I know we've talked about this before. What do you believe is the biggest impact on readiness?
Well, I just want to remind your listeners that the reason for this policy is not because the president or the Defense Department just doesn't like transgender people. It's because they have a unique medical conditions which make them ineligible for military service because they are have limited deployability. People who fully deployable in military terms, you are supposed to be able to be sent anywhere in the world at any time without the need for specialized medical care. And people who are undergoing transgender hormone therapy or who have undergone gender reassignment surgery inherently have a need for specialized medical care, which according to that normal standard would render them non-deployable, and that poses a threat to military readiness. So that's our primary concern. I want to point out with respect to this issue of the accession policy or the recruitment that she may actually be doing more harm to these plaintiffs than good, because if they are allowed to join the military beginning on January 1st, and then the ultimate disposition of the case is that, in fact, they can be discharged, you could argue that they would be worse off than if they had never been permitted to join in the first place.
Peter, last question is about overall recruitment. You have some folks who look at this policy, look at the Army briefly toying with allowing folks with some history of mental illness to enlist. They eventually walk that back. That's not an option anymore. So on the one hand, you got a lot of folks saying people are not going to be interested in a military that's warming up to those sorts of recruits. Others say, look, you've got young people. These are late teenagers, early 20s for the most part, and their generation seems pretty comfortable with all of what's happening with our social change right now. So what do you think? What would the impact be on overall recruitment if this is allowed to stand?
Well, I mean, there's a completely different interpretation you could put on that, which is that part of the reason why the military may be having trouble with its overall recruitment is because it has gone too far in the direction of using the military as a social experiment, too far in the direction of political correctness, and moved too far away from its original job of fighting and winning America's wars. And so perhaps if we would move away from these kind of politically correct social engineering, then we would have an uptick in our overall recruiting picture.
Peter, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
Okay, thank you.
Peter Sprigg, Senior Fellow at the Family Research Council. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.